First of all, I've got to say thank you for you as a congregation and the support you give to our missionaries throughout the world. Robert Martin being one of them. You all know Robert, and we all love and adore him. I can tell you firsthand, he is a wonderful person to be around. He is a hoot. There's no dull moments with Robert. Dan knows this from working with him. But this trip to Fiji was especially special this time. Robert was very reflective while he was there. This was his 50th anniversary of working in the Pacific Islands. 50 years. And I can tell you firsthand from the 9 different places I've been with him, he has made a substantial impact for the Lord. He will be the last to admit that he's made the impact. But the Lord's made the impact of these people in the Pacific Islands. And I'd like to just start out for a moment to think about some of the parables in Luke chapter 15. Jesus went to great lengths to show in parables how far he would go for the lost sheep, the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son. And as we studied this morning about the Zacchaeus, and how Jesus' purpose was to seek and save the lost. I have never met a man, and you can't say Robert without saying Mary. I have never met people so focused on seeking and saving the lost. And I hope to just, in a little way, give him the credits just due, but he would be the last person to want me to do that. So I'm not going to overdo it. But anyway, we were there for about a month. Yeah, it was exactly a month, actually. And let me turn this on. There we go. And this first picture is, there's about 5 generations of people in this photograph. Robert has taught 5 generations or more within the Pacific Islands. And from the days that Dan was there and Ronald Coleman and others, he built on their work and established congregations. And I never counted how many because some of these nations are tiny. But there are people throughout the Pacific Islands that are Christians today because of the work of Robert and others that went with him to teach them. And one of the things that he did after the period of time when he had to come back to the United States, he had to come back due to health reasons for his family, and it was a tremendously difficult thing for him. And I can tell you his heart is in the Pacific Islands, even when he's here. And it's reflective in the people that love him so dearly. But he started the Pacific Islands Bible College. You've heard him talk about that before, and I'm not going to say too much about it now, except to say that Pacific Island Bible College goes to the people where they are. They don't have to come to a central place to learn deeper knowledge about the Bible. We come to them, me being just an instructor. But Robert set it up this way so that he could reach out to these people throughout the Pacific Islands. There are 20 courses that they have to take. They can take it on their own time through DVDs or today through a thumb drive, or they can take it in person. The lady that's pictured there, Vani, had received her diploma after 15 years. She stuck with it for 15 years. And she got her diploma. And while it's just a piece of paper, as Robert would say, it really reflects the dedication of these people to learn God's Word apart from the normal time that they are in a church situation or studying on their own. And I'm sorry, I can't read so far back. So each course requires 13 hours of instruction, and that's what we were doing while we were over there. So for 5 days a week, every weeknight, we would teach for 2 hours And we did that for 13 nights. It's almost a total of 3 weeks total. And I can't not tell you how much encouragement I received from the people that attended all of that time. And it's not necessarily comfortable. These are open air churches. You can hear the dogs barking outside and sometimes inside. You can hear all the sounds of the city. And we were in Suva, and I'll point that out in a minute. But these people dedicated their time. And I'm telling you, from young children that were infants to school children that were in the 5th and 6th and 7th grades, teenagers, adults, and some very old people that were in their 80s would sit through those classes. And looking out on them while I was teaching was just inspiring because they were riveted. They were listening. Fiji is not an easy place to get to. There are flights there, but it was 8,300 miles one way to travel to Fiji. And Fiji's out in the western side of the Pacific Islands. It's one of the largest of the Pacific Island groups. And because of that, there's a plethora of people from all the Pacific Island nations that are in Fiji. Great place to teach. And we were centered in Suva, which is the capital of Fiji. Suva, being a capital city, had the largest population of any of the cities in Fiji, and it's sprawling now. Not what we would call a large city, probably a little bit larger than West Palm Beach, but spread out over a broader area. And while teaching in Suva, the Fiji Islands, by the way, has a population of about almost 1 million people, and it's scattered over about 100 islands. So many of the Fijian islands, like Viti Levu, which we were on, is the largest Fijian island, are not heavily populated. There's one major road that runs around the city, and it's a very treacherous sometimes and bumpy road, so it's not easy to get around. But we were in the Suva area by the little circle there, and there were a number of congregations that supported this work of Pacific Island Bible College. We all met in the host congregation at Rewanga, a congregation that Dan knows well. And Dan, they still speak of your last visit with Judy there. And we had the Southern congregation, Nasinu, Nasori, Ten Mile, Nela, and that congregation way up at the top is Deladamanu. And Deladamanu, it took those brothers and sisters an hour each way to get there. And they were there every one of those 13 nights, 14 nights and counting the night that we had a little social event. So they were dedicated. They wanted to learn God's word. The Fijians are made up of, like I said, a group of people from all the different islands in the Pacific Islands. Fiji has its own language, and they speak Fijian. English is a second language for most of the people, except the younger ones coming up that can speak English. And we did not use translators at this point, except in one congregation, that little congregation up in Deladamanu, where they don't teach English the way they should in the school system there. And Robert said they're lazy. But so many of the young kids there did not speak English very well. Just like any population, they have their own problems and challenges in life. They come from all walks of life, all kinds of professions, from professors to farmers. Everyone has a garden. And unless you're in the city itself, and even then you may have a little garden outside your building. But everything grows in Fiji. And they eat lots of good, fresh food, fresh vegetables, fresh fish. While we were there, gasoline was $10 a gallon. And if I did forget to mention it, but back when I showed you the distance that those people traveled, the congregation here helped fund renting of vehicles so that they could be driven to and from the congregations. That was a great help because most people walk to their congregation or they'll take a short taxi ride. So you can think about that in terms of where we live. So it was a great benefit for them to be able to have those rides. These are three of the congregations that I just had signs that I was able to take pictures of. We already mentioned about the 13 nights, and there were about 106 people at one time in one of our classes, and they roughly averaged about 67 people. So that's quite a crowd. This is the biggest classes that I've taught with Robert in the Pacific Islands, and very fruitful. We had to sit people outside the building as well as inside. They set up a canvas over the entry area that you can see in that left-hand picture or right-hand picture. And people would sit outside. Suva is on the windward side of the island, so the moist winds come in, they rise above the mountains, and it dumps rain on Suva. So Suva is the green side of the island. And while we were there, we had lots of rain. And those people would sit outside in the rain. It's their winter time now, and it's cool. Cool being, it plummeted to 72 degrees one night. And you can see some of the photos where people are wearing hoodies and jackets because it was chilly and it was rainy and windy. But they were there and they were paying attention. The outskirts of the city, when you get into the mountains, you get into small villages. Villages are a very rural way of life. People grow their food. They take their food to markets, either on the road in front of closest road to them, or all the way into Suva or one of the other cities. And you can see in that top right corner where the man's plowing behind two oxen, that's not an uncommon sight in Fiji. They have tractors, but still they toil their ground or till their ground even with oxen. And the road to Dela de Manu, that little village, goes across that rickety-looking wooden bridge there. In the days when the congregation was first established, you had to get there by longboat using an outboard and then trek up a muddy hill to get to the village. The stories I could tell, that in reflection of what Robert told me, are just amazing stories. Amazing stories how God works in ways to get the message to his people, get the message to those who are seeking. And this is some of the congregations that we were at. The Dela de Manu is the one in the middle. That's a village that actually adopted Robert into their village in a very formal way. I'll show you a picture later, but there won't be time to tell the story tonight. But it's a wonderful story about how God works in mysterious ways, from putting a tract out on the sidewalk so men that were working up to the hill could get to it, getting a call, going to teach, being rejected, being brought back, and then establishing that congregation that's here, there today, again, four generations in that particular congregation. Wonderful story. But the people, everyone has a story. And I can't tell you how many of those people came to me, tell your congregation, thank you for letting you come. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for paying attention to us in the very remote areas of Fiji. Wonderful people. Kind people. The greeting in Fiji is bula, and they will say bula till you're blue in the face. But walking down the street in the largest city, which is an urban area, bula on the sidewalk from anybody you meet. And they smile along with saying bula. And it's, I call it the island of smiles, smiling people. But it's wonderful being around them. And they're not to say there's some grouches around. Most of them are Palangis, or people from America. But the children are wonderful. One of the things that is key in Fiji is the concept of respect. I even saw a man with respect tattooed on his shoulder. But they do give a great deal of respect. I'm afraid as waning as the younger children are growing up, but when you get into the villages, the village people take care of the village problems. When they have wayward children, they're taken care of in the village. When they have criminal children, they are taken care of in the village. And it's very tight society. Wonderful to see that. Again, some of the pictures of the children, I keep saying I can't, but it's just hard to express how wonderful it was working with these children. Many of the children took the test, the exam at the end of this period. I've got the sweetest notes from two of the children on their test that said, "Brother Dan, I don't know the answer to this question," and a little sad face written on it. And so precious. But while we were there, there were two baptisms, and not because we were there. They had wonderful upbringing, and it was their time. We had four restorations at two of the congregations we went to. So just from a perspective of being able to see God's word at work in these lives was wonderful. The food there is out of this world. Out of this world may mean to some people, yuck. But it was tasty, it was good, it looked different, it tasted different, and it was almost always straight out of the ground. The table that you see in the middle there was made by the ladies and the men at Del Manu, who built the Lovo oven in the ground, cooked that, and had that for us when we were there to teach on and preach on a Sunday. And you can see pictures of the markets. The markets there are just unbelievable, with all kinds of fresh fruits and vegetables and fish and things that you never knew swam in the ocean. And here's just some more pictures. Again, every one of these has a story. Can you imagine being a missionary? A brother says to you, "There's a young man that's in jail. Will you go talk to him?" That man is in one of these pictures, but I'm not going to point him out. So 45 years later, he's a leader in one of the major congregations. That kind of story repeats itself over and over and over again because someone paid attention to the souls that are out there. And that's our job, isn't it? It's not just for a missionary to do it for us. It's your job when you go out every day. It's inspiring to watch Robert work in the city, you know, a big city, walking down the sidewalk. He'd start talking with somebody, and he'd talk to them in a way that immediately they knew he was Fijian. And Robert is Fijian in his heart. And he would start joking with them and opening up to them. And many of the times Robert taught people, that's how it started. Many times. Robert and Mary's house was open to everyone while they lived there. And I can't, again, the stories that he's told about wayward young women that lived in their house, almost lived in their house, while Mary took them under their wing to teach them. Some of those women are in the pictures that you've seen. Amazing again. I'm going to close in just a minute, but this is a story about that village in Del Manu. The man that Robert's sitting next to is the chief of that village. They still have very formal relationships in these villages. I don't have time to tell you the story. If you're ever interested, let me know, and I'll be happy to tell you. But this was Robert visiting, telling this chief about how the chief's father had given Robert membership in the family. This chief's, current chief's, two younger sons are there who will become a chief. They heard the story. And that just endears them to Robert and to the fact that he cares about that village. You try to play that, Ivan. Hopefully this will work. Not working. There you go. So this is, there's power in the blood being sung in Fijian. I wouldn't recommend anybody trying to sing it in Fijian. Ivan, could you stop that one? I'm going to go to the next slide. Go to the next slide, if you would. There we go. Now play that one. Now this is in a church service in the announcement period. Okay, that's good enough. Dan, can you keep up with that? So he's speaking in Fijian. I know Bula, Mosimanda, and a few other words, but boy, I couldn't speak like that. But anyway, it's a wonderful experience. And lastly, I want to just share with you the letter that one of the brothers wrote after we left. This is Lesio. Lesio is an elder in the church in Raywanga. The lady that received the diploma, Vani, is his mother. And I'll just read it for you because it may not be legible. It said, "Emosi and I are humbled in learning great lessons from you and Brother Robert. I know everyone else are richly blessed with the knowledge and wisdom and experiences and lessons shared these past 3 weeks from Dela Namandu, Naila, 10 Miles, and Sunder congregations. It's been wonderful with joy and tears to share and see our elderly with us in their guidance and instructions of words of wisdom, including you and Brother Robert. It is our prayer for your safe journey, well-being, and health, family and congregation, and God Almighty hand to strengthen, protect, and guide you and Brother Robert in Christ's kingdom. We all wanted to meet and say goodbye, Mose Manda, which see you later, even Noella and Sina, their two young ladies in the congregation there, express their sadness not to be able to say goodbye to you both, but you both are in our hearts and mind. I will convey your lolo ma and love to everyone, including my family, and please do give ours to you, your family, the brethren, and congregations. Till we meet again, Brother Dan, God bless." So that is a greeting to you and a thank you to you for allowing us to go there. And that's all.